Hi, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. It's time for another episode of It's All About Food. I'm calling today's show Into the Foods. Into the Foods and Out of the Foods. Well, as you may know, I am the musical director of a production of Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods in San Jose, California, and I'm doing it with my partner, Gary DeMattei, who is the stage director and choreographer. And we are now in Hell Week. This is the final week before we open with performances, and there's a lot of things that go on during this time that are very stressful, very intense, and require a big community of support. And when you don't have it, it's extra tense. But we're doing fine, and I'm looking forward to opening on Thursday and closing on Sunday and going home on Monday, because Gary and I have been away for a while, and there is no place like home. So what did I want to talk about today? Into the foods. You know, on this show, I talk about food, my favorite subject, and we'll be talking more about food today. Something I like to do is pay attention. Pay attention to my surroundings. Pay attention to everything all around me. And this show is going to be a bit of paying attention to what is around me. For example, I am sitting in what's used as a box office for the theater right now to pre-record this show. And I'm looking at what's around me. And I wasn't even planning on talking about this, but I am surrounded by the snack foods that will be sold during performances or have been sold during performances. And there are these big box kinds of foods that I assume are sold at stores like Costco that sell large quantities of foods at a reduced price. And there are some of the very popular snack foods that I am sitting next to. I wanted to talk about some of them. We've got Cheetos, Red Vines, and Snyder's of Hanover mini pretzels, and Pringles. Have you had any of these recently? Let's talk about some of them. So Cheeto Puffs, they are made with real cheese. And the ingredients consist of enriched cornmeal, and there are parentheses around that. The cornmeal is cornmeal with ferrous sulfite, niacin, thiamine, mononitrate, riboflavin, folic acid, close parentheses. Then we have vegetable oil, which is either corn, canola, or sunflower. Then there's cheese seasoning, which is whey, cheddar cheese, and the cheddar cheese is listed as being milk, cheese cultures, salt, enzymes. Then we have canola oil, maltodextrin made from corn, natural and artificial flavors, salt, whey, protein concentrate, monosodium glutamate, lactic acid, citric acid, artificial color, yellow number 6, and salt. And Cheetos are guaranteed to be fresh. Now, I don't know about you, but reading some of these ingredients, I don't know what's fresh about maltodextrin, do you? I don't know what's fresh about monosodium glutamate. Fresh? Have you ever had stale monosodium glutamate? It's kind of crazy. Let's dig a little deeper. I love corn. I love organic corn. I don't want my corn to be genetically modified. Now, when you process a corn or process any grain, you're going to be taking away things from it that are important for our digestion, for gaining nutrition. And something that was discovered was that when we process a grain, we take out the vitamins from it. I remember interviewing Aaron Bobro Strain back in 2012 when he had a book that came out called White Bread, A Social History, and I highly recommend this book. It's a fascinating read. It's 6 years old and it's still quite relevant today and very interesting. But when we started to highly process breads to make that fluffy white bread, people started getting sick because they weren't getting the vitamins they needed, like thiamine and niacin. niacin. And so it was decided to add these nutrients back into the bread. So you see in the Cheeto Puffs, for example, the cornmeal is enriched, quote, enriched with vitamins that have been removed from the original whole food. The problem is when you remove things from the whole food and you add things back, you're not adding things back in their natural form. You're not adding them back in the way nature designed, which over millions of years has been fine-tuned to work in our digestive systems. And adding nutrients back can be very problematic because, for example, they add back in folic acid. Now, there's a nutrient called folate, which is essential for human life. Folate is an important nutrient that synthesizes DNA, and it's very critical for fetal development, childhood growth, for the functioning of the immune system, and so many things. And folate is not the same as folic acid. Folic acid is the synthetic form of the natural folate, and it is often taken as a supplement or added to food. And we don't know quite enough about folic acid, but it can be dangerous, and it can compete with the natural folate, which is necessary. Dr. Furman cautions about supplementing with folic acid. He cautions about eating foods with added folic acid. And you can read more about that. If you Google Dr. Furman and folic acid, his blog article will come up. It is fascinating. So let's go back to the cheese puffs. One of the ingredients that enriches the cornmeal is folic acid. Okay, let's continue. What other fun ingredients are in this guaranteed fresh food? There are natural and artificial flavors. I was talking with a friend of mine recently about natural flavors, and she just loses it every time she reads the label of a food product that lists natural flavors. Natural flavors sound so simple and easy and nice and good for us, doesn't it? Natural flavors. Well, if you spin over to the Code of Federal Regulations, Title 21, you can read what the definition of natural flavors is, or natural flavoring. I'll read it to you. The term natural flavor or natural flavoring means the essential oil, oleoresin, essence, or extractive protein hydrolysate distillate, or any product of roasting, heating, or enzymolysis, which contains the flavoring constituents derived from a spice, fruit, or fruit juice, vegetable or vegetable juice, edible yeast, herb, bark, bud, root, leaf, or similar plant material, meat, seafood, poultry, eggs, dairy products, or fermentation products thereof, whose significant function in food is flavoring rather than nutritional. Natural flavors include the natural essence or extractives obtained from plants listed in subpart A of part 582 of this chapter and the substances listed in 172.510 of this chapter. And there's a whole lot more written about natural flavors at the Code of Federal Regulations, Title 21. I just read you a brief little snippet, and then more that's written about it refers to other pieces, different parts of other chapters. And I'm glad that there are regulations. This is good because we need to define things, but most people are so unaware of what the definitions of different things are. Something as simple and innocent sounding as natural flavors, really, I'm looking for words, it includes so much that is complicated and so much that isn't
natural or isn't what most people think natural should be, right? And then for those of us who don't want to consume anything from non-human animals, we discover that natural flavors are allowed to contain flavors from meat, seafood, poultry, eggs, and dairy products. So are some of our vegan products that we think are vegan that list natural flavorings, are they really vegan? Well, I could go really crazy with this one because nothing really is completely vegan. We live in such a complicated world where people, humans, and non-human animals are exploited at every step of an industrial process or in so many different areas of our civilization that to really live the philosophy of what a vegan is, which is not exploiting any sentient being, is impossible because we share the planet with those who choose to exploit. And if we're in a car, if we're in a bus, if we're in an airplane, if we use a refrigerator, if we use so many different products just to live in this world, unfortunately, there is exploitation. My point is, though, what is your point, Karen? My point is that natural flavors are not natural and are something that you may want to avoid. And you can find them in those super fresh Cheetos, guaranteed fresh. Now let's move on to another snack food. Let's go to red vines. Red vines, they're like a licorice. Do you know what red vines are made of? Corn syrup, wheat flour, citric acid, artificial flavor, red 40. And they note that red vines are partially produced with genetic engineering. How nice that they tell you that, isn't it? But who reads it? Now, this is a product with few ingredients. Corn syrup, wheat flour, citric acid, artificial flavor, red 40. Not many ingredients at all. But the ingredients that are in there are things that we really don't want to consume, and we don't want children to consume artificial flavors and artificial colorings. And if you have children that are experiencing behavior problems and learning challenges, look what's in their lunchbox and look what is in their diet. Because if they're consuming artificial flavor and artificial colors, this is the recipe for problems. Children should not be consuming artificial flavors and artificial colors. Adults shouldn't either. But I think we see most of the problems with children because a lot of the candies, like red vines, have artificial flavor and artificial colors. Now, red vines is nice enough to let you know that they're partially produced with genetic engineering. Snyder's of Hanover, mini pretzels. You know them, don't you? I always used to think they were a healthier snack somehow. Who convinced me of that? Well, they boast that they are part of the non-GMO Project Verified. So they're verified to be non-GMO. You may be familiar with the non-GMOproject.org, a nice organization that verifies whether products have genetically modified foods in them, and Snyder's does not. Snyder's of Hanover mini pretzels are made of enriched flour, keyword enriched, wheat flour, niacin, reduced iron, thiamine, mononitrate, riboflavin, and folic acid. There's that folic acid again. Water, salt, malt, tapioca syrup, malt extract, cane sugar, canola oil, yeast, and soda. So there we have more folic acid, which we don't need in our bodies. And for people, of course, who have wheat problems, celiac disease, gluten intolerances, this would not be an appropriate product. And it's not a whole wheat product. It is a processed wheat product that needs to be enriched. And we talked about that earlier, that when we take things away from a natural grain and we add some of the nutrients back, we're doing more harm than good. And then they put an asterisk next to canola oil, and that intrigued me. The asterisk denotes that the canola oil adds a trivial amount of fat. Okay, so now it gets confusing because this product is listed as fat-free. So it has canola oil in it, which is a fat, and we're told that it's a trivial amount of fat. Now, what's trivial to you? Well, we can spin over to the Code of Federal Regulations, Title 21, because they tell you what a trivial amount of fat is. And food that contains less than half a gram of fat per reference is considered fat-free or can be labeled fat-free. Now, it's tricky because it has to be per serving. And the manufacturers know this, so they create a serving size on the label that has less than half a gram of fat, and then they can happily list the product as fat-free. So a 20 minis serving is 110 calories, and that is sufficient to be listed fat-free. That has less than half a gram of fat. But that leads me to ask, why are we concerned about fat? We need three macronutrients. We need protein, carbohydrates, and fat. We absolutely need fat in our diet. We need protein in our diet. We need carbohydrate, but we need them from, everybody, whole food sources. When we get them from processed foods, they are problematic. And Snyder's of Hanover mini pretzels are a processed food. And all oils, remember, all oils are processed. Now, I like canola oil. I don't love canola oil, but I do use organic canola oil when I need an oil. I don't use a lot. I don't saute with oil. I don't make my salad dressings and sauces with oil, but occasionally I do need to use an oil, and if I'm using it in a high heat situation, I'll use organic canola oil. But in a snack food made with processed wheat flour, I think I will bypass the pretzels the next time they are offered. The last snack food that I'm sitting with today is Pringles. I've got a big box of Pringles here, and there are three flavors: original, sour cream, and onion, and cheddar cheese. The sour cream and onion is noted as flavored. Okay, so the Pringle base is made from dried potatoes, vegetable oil from corn, cottonseed, high oleic soybean oil, and/or sunflower oil, degerminated yellow corn flour, cornstarch, rice flour, maltodextrin, mono and diglycerides, salt, and wheat starch. Now, when I read degerminated yellow corn flour, that was a flag. Don't we want our corn flour to be as whole as possible? Why did they take the germs out of it? I'm making myself laugh here. They're not taking the germs, they're taking the nutrients out of it. Think about Pringles for a minute. What do you have to do to a potato to make it perfectly shaped like a Pringle so it will have ridges and stack perfectly neatly in a tube? Really, you've got to do a lot. A potato, especially an organic potato, is a fantastic food. People could live on potatoes. Now, I have a preference for sweet potatoes and purple potatoes, but I love a good Yukon Gold potato. They are so good. Russets are good, red potatoes. Potatoes are good food when you process them, and you have to do a lot of processing to make a Pringles chip. You're not just drying those potatoes. You're mashing them and adding all kinds of things into them and then mushing them around and extruding them. This is a process that takes a healthy food and makes it into a very bad one. Let's not even talk about acrylamides. Okay, let's talk about acrylamides. Acrylamides are a substance that are formed from a combination of high heat and starch, and it's a cancer-causing ingredient, and potatoes, like French fried potatoes and potato chips, are full of them. And it's true that a baked potato can contain some acrylamides, but it's very negligible compared to potato chips. And why is that? Whole foods contain water. And when we cook food in water or with food, water keeps the temperature down. Water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit at atmospheric pressure, and it keeps it there at 212 until all the water has boiled off. So a potato contains water in it, and even if you're baking a potato at 350 or 400, it keeps the potato cooler until all the water is gone. And acrylamide doesn't form as much in a baked potato as it does in a potato chip, which consists of dried potatoes and no water. And the oils that are added to the dried potato increase the temperature and make it even hotter so that the acrylamides can form faster and in greater amounts. Another thing that's interesting about snack foods today, people like them not just because they're salty and sweet and crunchy and they taste good to some folks. I don't think they taste good, but I've calibrated my tongue to like whole foods and fresh foods, not snack foods that have been processed. But they're cheap. And the question is, what makes them cheap? Because as I read all of those ingredients, you have to think about where each of those ingredients comes from. It takes a factory to produce maltodextrin. It takes a factory to create mono and diglycerides. It takes a factory to make all of these different flavorings and the natural flavors. There are scientists creating natural flavors all the time. They need a lab and then a factory to produce the natural flavors. It's complicated and it's expensive. So why are snack foods inexpensive? They are inexpensive because they are made in tremendously large quantities, and places like Costco sell them in even larger quantities at volume discount. It's all about this scale factor. When we make lots and lots of widgets, it reduces the cost of making them, and you can offer them for very inexpensive. That's why when there are small businesses that are trying to offer you a very high quality product made with quality ingredients, they don't have that volume. And it's expensive. The product is expensive because it's expensive for them to make. I don't think bigger is better. I don't think big industry is better. I believe in smaller businesses making quality product, using people to create their product rather than automating everything and making an inferior product that isn't healthy and is actually working to destroy our society. Snack foods are convenient and they stay fresh, guaranteed fresh, and there's nothing fresh about them. What kind of snack foods do I like? Well, let's back up a minute. I believe first it's important to consume a very satisfying, nutritious meal. I eat when I'm hungry, I eat a satisfying meal, and then I don't need to eat until it's mealtime again. I don't snack. I don't snack very often. But if I do snack, I will have an apple. I might have some celery. If I need it to be decadent, I might put some peanut butter or almond butter in my celery or a little on my apple. Fresh fruit is like the best choice of snack foods, and they come naturally packaged. You don't need to do anything to an apple or a banana or an orange or a papaya. They all come in their own natural package, and there's little waste, and an orange peel or a banana peel is easily composted and degradable. Fresh berries are fantastic. They're probably the best fruits that we can consume. They're a little more fragile and often come in a plastic clamshell for protection. So there's a downside to that. But berries are the best fruits that you can consume. I've mentioned this company before, but there's a chain called Pressed Juicery, and I've seen them in New York and I've seen them in California. And when Gary and I need to relax and need a refreshing treat, we head over to the Pressed Juicery and we get their product called Freeze. And we had some yesterday and we went all out because we usually just get one or two flavors of Freeze in a cup. But yesterday we got toppings. And I'll tell you about it. So Freeze is a product that's made from whole foods, almonds and dates, pretty much. And then there might be chocolate or strawberry or maca, coconut, turmeric. They have a new flavor with turmeric and mango in it. And these are wonderful whole food products. The toppings, we go for the vegan toppings because I'm not sure about some of the other ones. They have granola that might have honey in it, and they have a chocolate chip, and I'm not sure if it's dairy-free. But they have slivered almonds, coconut, and blueberries and strawberries. They make colorful, stunning toppings that are delicious. Who needs artificially or naturally colored sprinkles that are made from sugar? So the trick is to eat a satisfying meal, and then you're not hungry for a snack. But oftentimes, people will snack because they're bored. So if you find that you're challenged with frequent snacking, think about why you're snacking when you're snacking. And this comes back to something called mindfulness, thinking about what you're doing, when you're doing it, thinking about what's around you, and making an informed choice. So I know that some people snack at the office because they need some kind of human engagement. They might be in an office and they're working all day and they need to take a break. And they get up and they go to the snack machine or they go to where the snacks are offered. And if you acknowledge that why you're getting up is not because you're hungry or need a snack, but you need to get up, you need to stretch, you may want to engage with other people, that's great. Do that without the snack. Or have a drink of water, because many of us are dehydrated. And let's talk about hydrating for a minute. I touch on this frequently. Gary and I are away from home. We live in New York. We're in San Jose. We're directing into the woods. I've been very organized. I'm really pleased with myself because it's working out so well. But every morning, we make our thermoses of tea, and I've been bringing bottles of water. It's important to drink water when you're doing a lot of activity and maybe not eating very juicy foods. And sometimes we're just thirsty, and water is a great drink. I don't want to drink plastic bottles of water. Plastic is tremendously polluting. It takes a lot more water than the water in the bottle to make the plastic bottle. Single-use bottles are devastating to the environment. We could talk a whole program about plastic and bottled water. So we bought some Bionature strain tomatoes. I don't know if they pronounce it that way. Bionature. But it's a company that makes organic tomato products, and we like them a lot. And I bought two glass jars when we first got here because I like their tomato products. I don't like throwing away anything, not even glass jars. And when I looked at the glass jars, I thought they would make a great water bottle because the opening is kind of wide on the top. So we cleaned them out, we took the labels off, and they've been our water bottles ever since. And we put distilled water in there and fresh lemon. People have been giving us fresh lemons from their trees, so we're in lemon abundance, which is fantastic. So some people might be concerned that the bottles break. Well, it just takes a little mindfulness to be careful about packing them and holding them. And they've been fantastic. And water tastes so much better coming out of glass than it does in plastic. So I'm very happy about One, reusing these glass bottles, and two, having access to great water when we need it. Now, at home, we have these Takeya bottles, which are glass, and they have a silicone coating, so if they fall, that will keep them from breaking. And they're great to have, too, but it's fine to use any glass bottle that you have. People are continually asking me, writing me about how to maintain a vegan diet, especially on a busy schedule. There are many ways to do this, and I'm glad that we have been in this particular situation directing this show, because it's really forced us to prepare in advance. Now, Gary and I love to cook, and we don't have a problem most of the time making new meals every day. And this is kind of overwhelming for a lot of people. But we don't have the time to cook anymore. And on our one day off a week, I've been massively preparing food for the week. And I want to talk about what I made this week to give you some ideas. So I made a grain. My grain for this week is millet. We have a lot of avocados right now, which is so thrilling because we haven't been eating avocado because it's been so expensive. But right now there are plenty of luscious ripe avocados that are very reasonably priced. And some people actually give us avocados. So we're in avocado abundance, lemon abundance. It's a beautiful thing. And I thought maybe I'll make some maki this week. So I bought some sheets of nori and I didn't want to use rice. You know, there's that rice and arsenic thing, and I don't want to eat a lot of rice, so I bought millet. And millet is great to use in making maki, those avocado rolls. So I got maki. And we were given some zucchini and green pepper from someone's garden. Katie and our cast brought us chard and zucchini and pepper. So I made a summer vegetable stew with black beans, zucchini, green pepper, and I used some frozen corn, organic corn, in that. And did I add anything else to that? No, I don't think so. So I cooked that up. I also finished cooking the red lentils that I bought at the beginning of this trip. Made a big pot of red lentils. I added some celery to that. I also brought little containers of herbs and spices on this trip, and I wanted to use them all up. So I had black pepper and turmeric and onion powder and some herbes de Provence, and I threw them in everything because I love them all so much. What else did I make? We got the fresh chard from Katie, and I had a little frozen spinach left, and we had four red onions. I sliced up the red onions. I sauteed them with no oil, everybody. Just a little water in the pan when they started to stick. And they cooked beautifully. And then I added the chopped chard with the stems. Why give up the stems? They're wonderful and crunchy. It was such a gorgeous bunch of chard, too, with yellow, bright yellow stems. And added the spinach and sauteed that for a little while. So now we have sauteed greens with onions, red onions. We have the black bean summer vegetable stew. We have red lentil soup and millet. And then I had a container of soft silken tofu. And I mashed that up with a little nutritional yeast and some olives. And it made a nice kind of tofu cheese. And of course, there's always guacamole, which goes with everything. And I squeezed a lot of lemons because we have lemons. And I made a jar of lemon juice. So we buy fresh greens. Throw the lemon juice on it with the avocado, and then we have all of these other dishes, and I plate them when I'm hungry. So I bring containers of all of these foods with us to rehearsal. We have a refrigerator, and I just scoop out the foods that I want. I'm not a promoter of microwaves, but I will confess that if I want some of my food warmed up, I will use the microwave here and warm it up. But sometimes I just eat these food cold. It's warm out. Why do I need to eat hot food when it's hot? And I forgot one more thing. I also made garbanzo bean flour flatbread on Sunday, along with everything else.
Gary bought a bag of garbanzo bean flour when we first got here, and we haven't used it because we haven't had time to cook, and the pots and pans that we've been given to use aren't suited for some of the things that we like to make with garbanzo bean flour. But I decided I can't waste this flour. I don't want to pack it and bring it home. I'm going to make garbanzo bean flour flatbread. We happen to have parchment paper. I don't know where it came from. I guess Gary picked it up. But if you look at responsibleeatingandliving.com, if you go over there, we have a recipe called chickpea flour flatbread. It's one of our more popular recipes. I don't call those beans chickpeas anymore. I prefer to call them garbanzo beans because chickpeas have a history that I don't really like. You can Google it and find out what I'm talking about. I made garbanzo bean flour flat bread. It's easy to make, maybe not as easy to say. But you take the flour. I had 2 cups of flour. I added 3 cups of water, I think. Actually, I normally add 1 to 1, 2 cups of flour, 2 cups of water. And I was confused because I was making 4 or 5 other dishes. And I think I added more water, but it turned out great. You want to have a thick batter, like heavy cream. I added nutritional yeast and whatever spices I had left, a little turmeric, onion powder, black pepper. I told you I was using up all the spices that I had brought. And you pour that on a baking sheet, parchment paper that's lining a baking sheet. Let me be clear. You take a baking sheet, a cooking sheet, a sheet pan, whatever you like to call it, cover it with parchment paper, and then pour the batter. So this sheet pan that I had was maybe a 1/2 inch, 3/4 inch deep. The sides were not very high, but maybe about that high. And I poured the batter in it, and I baked it at 350, and it took about 45 minutes. So our recipe, I think, says to bake it at 400 for 15 minutes or more. It really depends on how much water you add to the batter. But the key thing is you wait until the sides are slightly brown and pulling away from the paper. And it's amazing how magical this is. And then I took them out and I cut them. And now we have little pieces of flatbread that we can eat for the rest of the week with all our other foods. It's especially good with mashed avocado on it. Mmm. Now, we have been eating out a little bit, not very often. When we do eat out, we either go to our favorite vegan places or try and find a restaurant that has healthy vegan options. We took our friends Susan and Demon this week to True Food Kitchen in Palo Alto. I think I've mentioned this restaurant before. Susan and Demon had hosted us a few weeks ago. They were off in China and we housed it for them. We wanted to thank them for that opportunity and took them to this place. This restaurant was co-founded by Dr. Andrew Weil, and it's a lovely place. It's a chain. There are a number of them, and everything is supposed to be from sources that are sustainable. There's a lot of food that's organic, locally grown, and they have lots of wonderful, healthy options and some really creative dishes. There are vegan options, vegetarian options, gluten-free options, and the fish that they served is supposed to be sustainably sourced. And I'm using air quotes while I say that. I'm not a fish eater, and the words that are used to describe better choices of fish and meat are interesting to me. I want to talk about the vegan options that they served. One of the things that they use a lot is tahini, and they use it as a sauce or a flavoring in a lot of dishes. We had an appetizer called asparagus toast, and it had tahini in it, and it just gives the dish a luscious, creamy flavor without having to use a cheese or a dairy-based food. Tahini is a food that's been eaten by humans for a very long time and is nutritious and delicious and
my world of tahini variations continues to expand. Now, I ordered the Ancient Grains bowl, which comes with a harissa tahini. It's kind of a tahini with some spice in it. And this bowl comes with, I ordered it with tofu, and it had a bunch of vegetables and quinoa and some other grains. But what I loved were these charred onions. It almost tasted like onion rings, French fried onion rings. But they weren't battered or anything. They were just sautéed and charred and really amazingly good. The two vegan main dishes that they offer both have mushrooms in them. Mine had portobello mushrooms. Again, I'm just salivating now, thinking about eating that dish again. And if you want to see a picture of it, you can visit my blog, What Vegans Eat, at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Gary didn't want mushrooms. You know, he's the Italian boy who doesn't like mushrooms. So he opted for the TLT, which was the tempeh, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. And Demon got the Korean noodle salad. Yeah. And it's a lovely fresh salad with bean sprouts and glass noodles, sweet potato glass noodles, and lots of great veggies. It was so good. There is always a wait for this restaurant, and that's because more people want to eat this way, and there aren't many places that can boast food that is minimally processed, fresh, creatively prepared, and serves food for everyone, not just omnivores, but vegetarians and vegans and people with allergies and food sensitivities. It's a happy, beautiful place. It's a giant restaurant. It's huge, and yet they always fill it. I also want to give a shout out to Veggie Grill. Veggie Grill is a fast food restaurant chain. We've been excited about them ever since they opened, and there are two around here that we go to. And I may have complained about them recently. We found that the service and the quality didn't seem as good as when they opened. And we were there a couple of weeks ago, and Gary ordered what's called the B-Wing Salad, which is a vegan chicken covered with like a spicy barbecue sauce. And it's served on a bed of greens with avocado. Well, when he got the salad, the avocado wasn't there. And he was really looking forward to it. We love avocado. But nobody said that it wasn't going to come with avocado. And we were kind of in a hurry. And he was saying, oh, forget about it. But I couldn't forget about it. And I went up to the counter and I said, our B-Wing salad didn't have avocado. And the person behind the counter looked a little dumbfounded and asked in the back. And she said she'd look into it. And I went back to our table outside and continued eating. And then someone came out. I'm assuming this person was a manager. I'm not really sure. But she explained that they discovered all the avocados they had were hard and they couldn't cut them open, so they didn't use them. And I can understand that. When you're dealing with fresh food is not as reliable as, say, a Pringle or a guaranteed fresh cheese puff, which is made in a certain way with all kinds of natural and artificial flavors and preservatives and all kinds of things that make it the same every time and can be stored on a shelf forever. No, when you're dealing with fresh fruit, it's not as predictable. So I'm cool with that. But let us know. When we were eating at, what was it called, World Wraps about a month ago or so, same problem. They ran out of avocado. They came out and told us, and they offered substitutions. Everybody was happy. But this time they didn't tell us in advance. And this person apologized, but didn't do anything else. And to me, that's not good service. So I went right to their website, and they offer an easy way to submit feedback. And Gary kept saying, no, let's just go. And I ended up later on telling my story via email to their feedback email address. And I got a wonderful response back from one of their guest advocates. And in the end, I was offered a $15 credit. And we went back because that's what they wanted us to do. They wanted us to try Veggie Grill again, and I was so pleased. I ordered their summer celebration salad. And for a fast food restaurant, okay, they're not cheap, but they are vegan and they offer some really creative options. And for people that are curious about vegan food, they have burgers and chicken-like dishes made from plant foods that are very familiar to those that like their chicken nuggets and their buffalo wings and their burgers and all that stuff. And they're great at that. The summer celebration salad, do you know what it included? It had a purple potato salad, and it wasn't a gooey, creamy potato salad. No, it was more like the German potato salad that has vinegar and dill. It was amazing, and I can't wait to go home just because I want to go home. But I want to go home and buy some purple potatoes and make a purple potato salad just like this one. And when I do, I'll post it and share the recipe with you. But it was great to be able to have it at Veggie Grill. And Gary got a B-wing sandwich instead of a salad. But we splurged this time. We usually just get one dish each, but we were super hungry. And we ordered a plate of nachos. This is really decadent for us. But it had black beans and vegan cheese and corn chips. And it was fun. So in summary, I am going to give a thumbs up for Veggie Grill. And we will be back there again. Maybe not on this trip, though, because we only have 5 days left. And in the last 10 minutes of this program, I want to just explain a few things, clarify a few things about me and my mission and what my priorities are and what I recommend to others who ask specific questions about things. To start with, for those of you who have been listening to this show for over 9 years, you know who I am. You know what I'm about, I hope. And for those of you who are new, this is for you. And I just feel a need to express why I do what I do. Number one, I do the work I do to minimize pain and suffering. Pain and suffering for non-human animals, the voiceless animals who are used for food and animal testing and many other products for human consumption. Personal care products, clothing. I began as a vegetarian when I was 15, and I was a lousy vegetarian back then because I really didn't know what I was doing. There wasn't a lot of information. There wasn't the internet. I didn't have a cell phone or a smartphone. There was just snail mail and magazines. And I learned what I could from them and books in the library. And I learned slowly. And then by the time I was 30, I was ready to be a vegan. And that was 30 years ago. I'm celebrating 30 years vegan. But my primary motivation is minimizing pain and suffering for innocent, non-human animals that are exploited. Okay? Now, along with that, I learned that eating a plant-based vegan diet is phenomenally healthy and fantastically gentle on the environment. So all the reasons apply. There's like no reason not to eat this way. Oh, and it's the most delicious way to eat. So it all sums up to easy and no reason not to do it. That's where I'm coming from. Now, I want to clarify, I am into a healthy diet, but I will confess that on occasion I will splurge and have something that isn't particularly nutritious. It's a treat, but it's always vegan. I never vary for that. Someone in the cast celebrated a birthday and they brought in a birthday cake and they asked us, do we ever deviate from our vegan diet for something that's really yummy? And the answer is no, because to me it's not yummy when it
when the ingredients contain pain and suffering, it's not yummy. And I know that. And if I accidentally consume something that has animal products in it, sometimes I can taste something that I know has dairy or butter in it or something or animal fat. I can't eat it. It makes me sick to my stomach. Now, some of that can be psychosomatic. It can be for emotional reasons. Whatever it is, it just is. So that's that. But I do have recipes at Responsible Eating and Living for cakes and cookies and pies and treats, and some of them are not as healthy as others. And I do that because I want to help people wean themselves off the animal and know that there's no deprivation. Maybe you're not interested in a long, happy, healthy life. Maybe you just want to eat fun foods, but you're concerned about causing pain and suffering, and you don't like what's happening to the animals, and you want to know that you can eat cakes and cookies. Well, you can. There are delicious recipes that are vegan and gluten-free, and I offer some at responsibleeatingandliving.com. But then there are many people that are in search of a healthy diet, something that will decrease their risk of disease and improve longevity, improve the chances of a long quality life. And I'm in pursuit of that because I like feeling good. I don't like feeling bad. I had advanced ovarian cancer 12 years ago. It was not fun. I don't want anybody to go through that. And if I can help in any way, I will. I was invited to a dinner party this week by a dear friend of ours whose aunt was recently treated for stage 3 ovarian cancer. And she is on a mission now to do whatever she needs to do. She's ready to give up whatever foods are not considered healthy. And I have so much respect for that. We were served a fantastic vegan meal. It had an Indian theme to it. There was an okra dish, and I don't like okra, but this was really delicious. And there was a Indian delicately flavored spiced zucchini with tomatoes dish. There were cauliflower dishes. There was an Indian bread, like a naan or something. I didn't really want to eat that. It was white flour bread. And to me, that it doesn't even taste good anymore. Everybody was raving about it, and they offered me a piece because they really wanted me to try it. And I did. But white flour just doesn't make it for me anymore. I remember I used to love, when I lived in France, I'm kind of going off the subject here now, but it's not off the subject. It's about food, right? I used to like to eat a white pasta with frozen spinach and frozen mushrooms and olive oil. This was like my easy go-to dish that I would make. And those mushrooms were great. Something about the mushrooms grown in France, even the simplest ones, are just fantastic. But I don't use olive oil anymore, and white flour pasta just seems so boring to me. I don't want to eat it. But now back to why I do what I do. I want to be able to offer advice, recommendations, and recipes so that people can feel good, be healthy, and not feel deprived. There's no deprivation in this diet. The food is fantastic. It's nourishing. And for those of you that are craving things, like craving bread or craving something, I'm thinking you're not eating enough. You may not be eating enough of the healthy, wholesome plant foods to keep you satisfied. Because it's when you're hungry, you're thinking about the foods that you miss. Eat a big, satisfying meal with giant salads, giant plant-based stews and soups, lots of fresh fruit, and you won't be thinking about food until it's time to eat again. Well, that's how it works for me. And I can only speak from my point of view because that's the only point of view I have. But I will acknowledge that we're all individuals and everyone is different. So everyone responds to food and ingredients and lifestyles in a very unique and individual way. So I may recommend something that totally doesn't work for you, and that's okay. But if you do have questions and you want more information, I'm here, and I will offer up whatever I can that's helpful. So you can find me at info@realmeals.org. And I really would love to hear from you, honestly. And if there's something that you have discovered that works for you, that either I've shared or someone else, let me know. I'm always open to learning more. And there you have it. You've been listening to me, Karen Hartglass, and it's all about food. I'm so grateful to you, my listeners, for tuning in and for caring about food. Because it's all about food. Have a delicious week, everybody. Thank you.